You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
All right. Hello, everyone. Oh, how good has it been to be in the house of God? I love this place. You're all looking really good. All right. Go ahead and take your seats. We're going to get ready. So how many of you have been enjoying our Stars and Stripes series? Yes. Okay, so how many of you were here this morning? I just kind of need to know who's all gone to a whole nother level in their revelation. Okay, I just need to say that I highly recommend that if you've missed the last 2 weeks especially, to get the podcast messages. Get the C3 app and listen to those. Pastor John preached a message last week in the morning called Flavor of America. I truly believe it's a message that needs to be heard all around the United States of America. And then Pastor Jurgen preached this morning on the Barabbas bias. Oh my gosh. I'm going to reference it tonight probably, but I'm kind of scared to because I can't even do it justice and I won't even try. But you really need to listen to that message. It was life-changing, and you will definitely see everything through a different perspective after you hear that message. Can we move that away from the screen? Because if I get aggressive, I'm going to go right into the screen. All right. So if you know me at all, I'm a very feisty person. I don't back down from a confrontation. I am sometimes aggressive. I'm quite passionate, okay? So this, because I'm very passionate about America and I'm passionate about our freedom and freedom of religion, I've been living in this whole nother level of excitement, okay, the last few weeks. And if you follow me on social media at all, you'll have seen my contribution. But my goal is to bring information tonight from a perspective of the church, perspective of the Bible. My goal is to not offend. And if I start to go down the road of being, maybe I crossed the line a little bit, like too feisty or anything, I have given myself a timeout chair. Okay? So this is my timeout chair. So if I will self-regulate, all right? And also, if you see me sit in the chair and then I begin to slouch, so this is what I have found about myself. If I'm getting really passionate in a conversation, I'm afraid I'm going to get angry or cross the line, I literally will, in meetings, almost act as if I'm tired. Because it's really hard to be aggressive and cross the line when you're in this position. It's really hard to be angry and like yell when you're like this. So, I may or may not have to use it, but I thought for all of our benefit, I'd have it here, just in case. Just in case. And I fully understand that God has given us a spirit of self-control, and I will do my best to access that throughout my message. But all have sinned and fallen short, all right? All have sinned and fallen short, and he who was without sin cast the first stone, okay? Are we good? Amen. All right, I want to pray. Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, that we are a part of a church that does not back down, refuses to be silent, to stand up for your truth, to stand up for your word, God, and bring truth to a nation that so desperately needs it. Lord, I pray that you would just open every heart in this place and that every person would have ears to hear what your word says. God, we thank you for this series. We thank you for this church who stands boldly for you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. So let's start with the scripture. Psalms 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We know that America has been blessed. America was founded on the principles of the Word of God. It is a Christian nation. So blessed whose nation, whose God is the Lord. And we know that the blessing we have is not because we're anyone special, but what we've built our foundation on the Word of God and as Christians. But as Pastor Juergen so brilliantly preached this morning, there is an antichrist spirit that rages against Christianity and rages against the church and is raging against the church and Christians to silence our voice because we are the one institution, we are the one people group that will refuse to back down and let evil reign in this earth. But from the beginning of Jesus' time, there's been the Barabbas bias, as Pastor Juergen shared this morning. When Jesus Christ was on one side, sinless, perfect human, and then Barabbas, a criminal, a murderer, instead of releasing the one who stood for truth and love, we cried out that the sin would be released, that the evil would be released, that the murder would be released. So from Jesus' time until now, we see the Barabbas bias. We cry out and we try to, it's like the world is crying out, like, and we want in the injustice, we want the evil, and we refuse to accept the truth. But the farther we move away from God as a nation, hear me, the farther we move away from God in this nation, the farther we're going to drift from his blessing. The hand of protection will be removed the farther we drift from God. So I am passionate to preserve the nation of America. In Matthew 5:13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its taste, how shall it be salty? How shall the saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." We are the salt of the earth. Do you know salt is used as a preservative, right? A preservative is to maintain something in its original or existing state, to keep alive or in existence, to keep something safe from harm or loss, to prevent decay. We are called as believers to preserve. We are called to believers to preserve and not sit back and let the decay happen around us. We don't have the option of quitting and throwing our hands in the air and say, America's too far gone. We don't have the option. We are the salt of the earth. We have to continue to fight the good fight of faith. We are never allowed to give up. We are never allowed if we call ourselves believers. We are the salt and the light of this earth. And I do not believe America's too far gone that we cannot get it back. America is not too far gone. I know so many Christians are just like, oh, there's no way they're going to reverse that ruling. There's no way we're going to get this back. Really? Really? We're supposed to fight the good fight of faith. We cannot give up and we cannot back down. We are to preserve. We are to preserve and prevent decay from happening. The world is depending on a strong America. The world is depending on us. 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land." I'm believing that some healing is going to start taking place in this nation as Christians become informed, as Christians take their rightful place as salt and light in the earth. And I believe that the church, Christians, we've been silent for far too long. We've been silent for far too long in prayer and in speech and in action. The title of my message tonight is Silence of the Lambs. Silence of the Lambs. And has anyone seen the freaky movie? Okay, all right. So try not to think about that, okay? But I did want you to remember my message, so I gave it a creepy name. If you have not seen that movie, don't. Like, it'll totally give you nightmares. I think I watched it as a young teenager, and I did not sleep well for a very long time. So I don't recommend it, but I do believe that our nation is in the state that it's in because we've had a case of silence of the lambs, God's people. And it's time for God's people to get their voice back. Amen? Yeah. Going to be reading in Genesis. Genesis 2:15-18. "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you shall freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.' And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And we know that God caused a sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took one of his ribs, and he made Eve from the rib of Adam. And then God brought Eve to Adam. In Genesis 2, 23 through 24, it says, "And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they became one flesh.'" And then Eve was in the garden. Eve was in the garden, and we know that the serpent, Satan, came to her. Genesis 3, 1 through 6. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." Now, if you remember earlier on in Genesis, the Lord had told Adam to not eat of this tree. So I'm a little surprised when Eve presented him with the apple, he didn't go, "Now, Evie, pumpkin, little cupcake, God said." But he took and he ate it. And because of one man's silence in the garden, it had devastating consequences, not just for them, but for the entire world. Because of one man's silence and not standing up for the truth, God had to initiate the most extravagant rescue plan on planet Earth. And we know he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to come down to this earth to die on the cross for your sin and my sin so that we could be saved. Because of one man's silence, Jesus Christ died on a cross for all humanity. We cannot underestimate the impact that even one act of silence can have in our own life, but in a nation. And from Adam in the garden to this current age, the silence of God's people have assisted in humanity choosing evil over good time and time again. So I want to take a little walk down memory lane in the United States of America. And I'm just going to go back about 10 years and share with you some things, some laws that have passed in the last 10 years that I believe if you're a Christian and you believe in the Bible, you should have some level of concern. You may not agree with me, but I will read the Bible, and you need to decide for yourself. The first thing, SB 48 passed, requires all K through 12 graders to be taught in a positive light the role of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans. And the new textbook will be required to be in all schools in 2017. Proverbs 22:6 says that parents should train up a child in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not depart from it. So the school used to be responsible to teach our children math, reading, writing, history, but now they're becoming the training ground for a liberal agenda. The second thing, Common Core. How many parents do I have here? All right, thumbs up or thumbs down for Common Core? Do I see any thumbs up? Okay, no, I don't. And I'm not shocked. If you don't know what Common Core is, the government has mandated this educational system for every single student across the United States. They took control away from the state, and the government is forcing every school to teach this curriculum, which includes the first thing I told you about. And it's so incredibly complex that I have to Google my first grader's math homework. I was a very good student. I graduated with honors in college. I had the ropes around my neck, the cords that meant I was kind of smart. I cannot do my first grader's math homework. 2 + 2 no longer equals 4. Did you know that? They have to break it down in this way I don't understand. And then they have to explain in sentence form how they got to their answer. Well, 2 + 2 = 4. That's not enough. You got to break it down. And I'm like, I don't understand. Oh, the states are in uproar. Teachers are in uproar. Principals, everyone is in uproar. But the government has taken away control from the state, and they are commanding that every student be taught through this Common Core. Kids and parents are in tears. No joke. I cry many times. Many times. The third thing, AB 1266. Requires all K through 12 public schools to permit biological boys and girls restrooms, showers, clubs, and sports teams, and vice versa. And this is not just in schools. There's actually a law that passed with adults as well, and I believe it's HB 2, but I don't quote me on that one. If I read the Bible, Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." So children and adults no longer get to decide what restroom they use based on their biology, but their feelings. 0.6% of the population can say that they struggle with their identity. 0.6% of the population say they identify with the gender they were not born in. 0.6% say they identify with the gender they weren't born into. So for 0.6% of the population, to make them comfortable, we now made 99.4% of the population somewhat uncomfortable. And as suspected, we have men and high school students that have gone into women's restrooms, locker rooms, swim showers, and they have photographed, they have filmed, they have sexually assaulted. We had a man who walked into it was a swim club, and as all the little girls were changing, he proceeded to change himself, and they could not force him to leave because that was the gender he identified with. Yet, that's the price that 99.4% of the population have to pay in the name of inclusivity and equality. SB 543 allows schools to take sexually confused children from school for off-site counseling and support without their parents' permission. SB 1172 says it's against the law for a counselor or a pastor to advise a minor about gay or transgender's feelings and to encourage them to consider another path. So you can imagine what types of counselors the school counselors are taking our children to during school hours without our permission and what type of counsel they're getting. In Psalms 1:1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked." The fifth thing, minors can obtain contraception without parents' permission. And I feel like this one's been around quite a while that we're not even like shocked or fazed by it anymore. But the school is allowed, whether it's against your religion to have premarital sex, they can encourage your child to have sex as long as they're being safe, and they can provide them with contraception. Hebrews 13:4, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled." Genesis 2:4, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother," get married, "and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh," have sex after they're married. Minors. In California and in many other states can get abortion during school hours without notifying parents. So schools and abortion clinics are making choices for our children that only a parent should make. And they're making these decisions based against our belief system without our knowledge. Because you know, if you have read the Bible and you believe the Bible, that life begins at conception. That the Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5, before God even formed us in the womb, he knew us. Before he even formed us in the womb, he knew us. And we were set apart. And we know there's a destiny and a purpose given to each and every life at the moment of conception. Yet schools can take our children during school hours without notifying the parents. So think about this. So your son or daughter who you didn't even know was sexually active because they didn't tell you, because they don't have to tell you because they can get contraception from school. Let's say your son ends up getting a girl pregnant or your daughter gets pregnant. She can be taken during school hours to get an abortion without your consent or your knowing. All of these actions, your child has been exposed to STDs that can end up taking their life and destroying their life. They can live with for the rest of their life. They're engaging activity that can make them become a child parent. And then they can decide to murder that baby inside their room, all without your knowing. All without your knowing. You don't have a right to know. They have rights. Can you imagine as a parent, like, that all of this can be done and you had no idea? So as a parent, you can't comfort your 13-year-old little girl who is scared to death because she was having sex with her 17-year-old boyfriend with a condom given to her by school, but that didn't work, and now she's pregnant, and she has to make the decision at 13 years old without her parents and could be taken to an abortion clinic during school hours where you drop them off to be safe and protected, but they can take them from you and take her and encourage her to get an abortion because that is her right, and you had no idea. Can you imagine the trauma and the fears? You don't even know this. You can't comfort them. Give them a hug. Cry with them. Counsel them. Pray with them. But you had no idea. But don't worry, because at least 45 states has law prohibiting minors from getting tattoos. And 38 states have laws that prohibit body piercing on minors without apparent consent, including California. So woohoo! They can't get a tattoo of a cross, but they can abort their child without your knowing. Okay, I'm just going to sit for a sec. Okay. All right. Dr. Matt's going to love this one. Another area attacking parental rights. Are people leaving? Are they offended? I'm sorry. SB 277, forced vaccinations. So the government is forcing parents and requiring parents to give every child currently 69 vaccinations before they can enter school, or they will not be allowed to enter school. And when the drug companies come up with new vaccinations, you're also forced to give them those. And one of the current ones that I even was dealing with when my 4-year-old daughter was born was the Hep B vaccination. Even my own pediatrician, who was pro-vaccination, told me, do not let them give you that vaccination in the hospital before you leave with your daughter. Because that vaccination, you can only get by using an unclean needle, having unprotected vaginal, anal, or oral sex. Yet we're required to inject that into our newborn child before they leave the hospital. The CDC statistics say 3,000 to 4,000 severe vaccine reactions happen every year and are reported, including for hospitalization, intensive care, permanent disability, or death. In 2015, 44,450 reported injuries were reported and 148 deaths. So I'm just confused how the government can tell me as a parent what I have to put in my child's body, knowing they give you the pamphlet. I'm sitting in the doctor's office and they say, this could result in serious injury, disability, or death. But they're gonna make me as a parent give that to my child. I'm very confused where we cross the line from parental rights to government rights. We should be more concerned. And I'm not saying vaccinations are bad. They're not right or wrong. You decide. That's not the issue. That is not the issue. What the issue is the government is telling me what I have to do to my child, knowing it could kill my child. I have a problem with that. I have a big problem with government control. So it's interesting. And then they say they can't go to school. Like, they can't go to school if they don't get these 69 shots. So they're going to force me to give something to my child that could potentially kill them before they go to the school where they indoctrinate them with their liberal agenda and potentially could take them to get an abortion. Like, I'm confused. Like, we have lost our minds and our rights as parents. So I'm into parental control, not government control. And I'm probably going to be on the hit list right now from like the vaccine people, but that's fine. If something happens to me, y'all know who did it, all right? Okay. Another thing, freedom of speech is under attack. Pastors are getting arrested and put in jail for preaching the Bible. This is happening. This is happening. And they're calling it hate speech. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will be hated by those who speak it. Freedom of religion is under attack. We're having to remove crosses. We can't talk about Christmas or Easter anymore. Prayers are taken out of schools. Pastor Jurgen shared this story this morning, and it was so incredibly interesting. So we're supposed to have freedom of religion, right? Well, there was a Muslim stewardess on a plane. As a part of your job as a stewardess, if someone orders a drink, you serve them a drink. That's part of your job. But it's against her religion to serve alcohol. So she refused to serve a customer alcohol. So she was suspended, rightfully so, because she wasn't doing her job. All the liberal activists are now backing her, and they are suing the airline because they are crossing her right to have freedom of religion. However, if a private bakery doesn't want to bake a cake for a lesbian or gay couple, they are shut down and fined so incredibly that they lose their business. So I'm not understanding where there's freedom of religion in the United States. I feel like it's freedom from religion or freedom of religion, except if you're a Christian, because of that Antichrist spirit we talked about. So it's interesting that you can live in America and chant death to America, but you can't say Jesus loves you without offending people. We've redefined the definition of marriage, legalizing same-sex marriage. And I've read the scripture before. God created man, he created woman, and they came together, they got married, and that's how it was intended to be. But I just need you to be a little aware about the next agenda. Just to be aware, have your eyes wide open with that Antichrist spirit out there. So the agenda around same-sex marriage, and you keep hearing it and you see it, says, how would you feel if you were denied the right to marry the one you love? How would you feel? And you're like, oh, that, yeah, that's not, what, wait, what? Pulls right here, right on your heartstrings. Like, oh, that'd be terrible if you couldn't marry the one you love. Well, the combination of the homosexual agenda and the current conversation around lowering the age of consent is going to have some devastating consequences. There's already conversation. Two-thirds of America has already reduced their age of consent to 16. But there's conversation to push forward the age of 12 or 13 as age of consent. Let me tell you why. Because with all the illegal and legal immigrants coming into our nation, they are from nations that actually condone you to have sex with girls that age. So how are we to say that they have to stop having sex with that age girl because that's a part of their culture? How dare we deny them to be with the ones that they love? And then you couple that with the agenda of the NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, which has renamed itself to MAP, Minor Attracted People. There's a growing effort afoot to encourage tolerance and a type of respect for pedophiles renamed to MAP, Minor Attracted People. The MAP advocates are using the same strategies to gain recognition and build acceptance as homosexuals and transgender activists use to normalize their deviant identities and behaviors. It's a hard sell to Americans, but we would never doubt the tenacity of a sexual revolution in an attempt to achieve it. The liberal movement has no boundaries, has no end, and will continue to forcefully advance unless we come back and push back and fight good fight of faith. Amen. Come on. We got to get some fight in us. America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter or lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. Abraham Lincoln. So the question is, how did we get to this place? And can we not send the keys till I'm ready? I will get, it's only 6:08 and I see I have 5 minutes left, so we're good. Question. How did we get to the place where we call evil good and good is called evil? Silence of the lambs. Silence of the lambs. Our voice has been shunned, shut up. We've been bullied, backed into corners. We're too quiet. And if we're shouting, we're usually shouting the wrong things. We're shouting at them our Bible verses. They don't give a rip what the Bible says. They don't even believe in the Bible. We've got to get smarter. So silence of the lambs. Why I feel that we're in the state we're in. Christians have been silent at the voting polls. We've been silent. 25 million Christians did not vote in the last election. But the last election was decided by 4 million votes. 25 million did not vote, yet the election was decided by 4 million. One in four Christians is not even registered to vote. So if Christians would register to vote, we could actually dominate every decision that was made in the United States of America. So why aren't people voting? I'm just kind of going to break it down because I've put myself out there on social media to be hated by the world. I've gotten a lot of feedback about the reasons why Christians aren't voting from my lovely Christian friends. So I'll tell you what they say. Well, God's will automatically happens. Whoever God wants to be president is going to be president anyways. Okay. God's will rarely happens in the earth. It rarely happens in the earth. If it did, the Bible says when they're teaching us to pray, when Jesus is teaching us to pray, he says, when you pray, say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if we are being instructed by God to pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, why do we have to pray that if his will was already happening? It doesn't make sense. And if God's will automatically happens, that means that every rape, every murder, every child molestation, every cancer, every disease, every famine was his will. That theology cannot stand. It can't stand because when Jesus was on the earth, the Bible says in John 6:38, for I have come, Jesus, for I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. So Jesus was God's will in action on the earth. What did we see Jesus do? Jesus healed all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. He raised the dead. He caused provision to happen in people's lives. He multiplied abundance and provision for people. He went about doing good and ministering to all. So if that's God's will, the evils that I spoke of before are not in it. So God's will is not happening here on the earth. God's will does not automatically happen. So God is in control, but he's put us in charge of our choices. God's in control, but we're in charge of our own choices. And if he forced his will upon everybody here, there'd be no crime, there'd be no disease, there'd be no famine, there'd be no sickness, right? But there'd also be no free will. And from the beginning of time, God put two trees in the garden. He never commanded that we follow him. He never demanded that we chose him. He, from the very beginning, gave us free will to choose good or choose evil, choose right or wrong. And what we see is people have chosen wrong and wrong and evil again and again and again. But God will not violate our right to choose. So his will does not automatically happen. And if Christians would have started voting a whole heck of a lot time ago, we would not be in the situation that we're in right now. Another mindset I think that keep people from voting, especially Christians, is I've heard that we have to agree with everything they stand for before we vote for them. Let me set you free. We don't. Okay? If that was the case, if we had to agree with everything a human being stood for, no one would ever vote. Ever. And that logic does not work in politics or in real life. Because if you had to agree with something everyone did before you made a choice to choose them, none of us would ever get married. And we would never order from Amazon again because they support things that Christians don't believe in. So that theology does not stand in life or in politics. So be free, Christians. Be free to vote. Another mindset. We're condoning everything they've ever done if we vote for them. Once again, no, we don't. We have to look beyond the person and look to the policy. What do they stand for? Not how many flaws do they have. We've got to get past the mess of humanity and see what they stand for. Because I guarantee you, more scandals will come. Just wait. We have a few weeks left. It's going to get real juicy and good, people. You just wait. Both sides. More juicy stuff's going to come out. Let's not be shocked by that. While more flaws will be exposed, their policies and what they stand for will remain. We have to look beyond the person and look to the policies. And can we stop talking about how we want the president to be a good role model for our children? I'm sorry, isn't that your job? Like, oh my gosh. Should I sit? Did I cross the line? Oh, Lordy, Lordy. But honestly, Christians are so easy to manipulate. It makes me want to vomit in my mouth. Like, we're so sensitive. We're so sensitive. We're so judgmental. We got to get off our flipping high horses and out of our holy huddles and stop casting stones. We are so quick to condemn. We're so quick to condemn humanity. Do we not remember how God used David? God used David. He was an adulterer and a murderer. God used Moses, who also murdered someone, as well as Paul. Abraham lied. He was a liar. He lied about being married to his wife and let his wife get married to another king dude. Pharaoh. Yes, twice he did that. Samson, he was a total lusty. Samson was a lusty. And he was morally disobedient time and time again. So both of our candidates have done some of those things. And I'm going to let you decide, do your own research, which crimes they committed. Some haven't just been convicted, though. Do your own research. And research is not looking and watching the liberal media. Can I just tell you that? That is not research. That is called misinformed, all right? Our nation is dominated by the liberal agenda. Did you know just recently, after all the scandals are coming out on both sides, they played the Republican candidates' things 23 more times than they played the Democrats. So talk about the fact that we're having a liberal media agenda and they refuse to have fair play in the media. So if that's your only basis of research, it's not. Google it, people. Google it. You'll be surprised. So no, we don't condone everything they do, but we must look to the policies they stand for. And this is kind of in line with it. And then people will say, oh, we can't vote for the lesser of two evils because it's still evil. Again, whenever you're voting for humanity, you're always choosing evil because we make mistakes. And this is the problem with Christians. They're waiting for Jesus Christ Jr. Let me tell you something. He ain't showing up on the ballot. I'll tell you why. Can you imagine going from the state that we're in, those nine wonderful things that let you know of what happened the last 10 years? You really think Jesus Christ Jr. is going to show up out of nowhere and that we'd actually vote him in? Like, we're crazy if we think we're going to go from where we're at to Jesus Christ Jr. in one election. We've got to start somewhere. We've got to start making progress. And honestly, I'll just sit for this, because... So, if you're going to, like, vote for a third party, like, what? You want to be completely ineffective and irrelevant? Why don't you make a choice that's actually going to make a difference? And that's fact. No third party has ever been voted in for anything. So you might as well have your vote count for something. Are we okay? All right, can I stand up? All right. Anyways, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing get out and vote. Amen? The second reason why I feel the lambs have been silent or ineffective is because we've misunderstood the role of government and the church. We've misunderstood the role of government and the church. The government isn't supposed to behave like the church. Separation of church and state. Not from church and state, separation of. And this was a good reason. This is actually a good thing, you guys. Our founding fathers were smart enough to know that no one person, no president should be able to dictate what religion was enforced upon the nation of America. So even though they were Christians, they understood, like I said, from the beginning of time, that God gave people a right to choose him or not. Two trees in the garden, choose me, not choose me. So even God let people choose. So why would they ever want a president to make a people group be Christian? But I think Christians think that we need a Christian president in there that's going to make everyone behave, act, and think like a Christian. That is not what we want, because what we don't want also is for a Satanist to be our president, and then he come in and say, everyone needs to worship Satan. We don't want that. We don't want that. So we need to stop expecting the government to do the church's job. The church is called to make disciples. It's not the president's job. The church's job is to preach the gospel, not the president. And the government's job is to protect our freedom and protect us from harm. That is their job. Let me give you an example. The difference between the operation of the church and the government. Enemies are enemies. Christians are supposed to love our enemies, right? Matthew 5:44, love our enemies. Romans 12 also says that Christians are not to repay evil for evil. But our government is supposed to protect us from our enemies and punish the wrongdoer. Romans 13:4. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. The government is to bear the sword and enforce peace when wrong has been done. And when our enemies come against us. And I may have to sit on the chair for this, but we need to be able to recognize who our enemies are. Can I just say that? It's our government's job to protect us from our enemies, but if our government refuses to acknowledge who our enemies are, we have never been under so much terrorist attack on U.S. soil. Never. We have to address our defense and our borders. And don't get me wrong. Oh my gosh. I love people. And my heart breaks when I see what's happening on other parts of the world, how all these refugees are crossing oceans to get here. My heart breaks for the situations that they've gone through, the hardships they had suffered. Like, there's so much grief attached to the things that they have gone through. Like, my heart breaks for them. But I think it's foolish if we don't know if they're a friend or a foe before we embrace them into our nation. And it's not unfair, and it is not racist. It's wisdom. It is wisdom. Don't buy in to everything the liberal media is selling you. It's wisdom. Especially when we understand that these refugees are coming from parts of the world that are home base for radical terrorist groups. These refugees are coming from nations that chant death to America. These refugees are coming from places that believe in the Quran. Quran 2, 191, slay the unbeliever. Quran 8:12, terrorize and behead those who believe in scriptures other than you. I am not saying that every refugee is violent. Oh my gosh, I am not saying that. And I am not saying that every Muslim has terrorist intent or plans. I am not saying that at all. But what I am saying is the ones who actually carry out those tactics and those terrorist acts, they're not radical. They're just true disciples. They're just true disciples. And I know many Christians are torn on this issue because they think we're supposed to love our enemies. And again, I'm not saying everyone that comes over here is our enemy. We don't know if they are or not. Unwise. But Christians are confusing, again, the role of Christianity and the government. Yes, we love our enemies. And we love our neighbor. But the government is supposed to protect us from our enemies and our neighbors. And I'm not going to let the government or the media make me out to be a racist because I want my children to live in a safe America. Right. Ships don't sink because the water around them. Ships sink because of the water that gets in them. We need to pray for America. We need to pray for our enemies. We need to pray for the refugees. We need to pray the government gets back to protecting us and doing their job. And I pray that the people that come across those waters would see the love of God through the people and the nation that was founded on a God that loves them desperately. And the last thing, well, I think the lambs have been silent. Fear of man. The fear of man might do me some good to get a little by that. Isaiah 59:14-15. This verse is so prophetic for this time. Is it up? I'm going to wait. Isaiah 59:14-15. Our courts oppose the righteous, and justice is nowhere to be found. Truth stumbles in the streets, and honesty has been outlawed. Yes, truth is gone, and anyone who renounces evil is attacked. The Lord looked and was displeased to find there was no justice. Our nation has been void from the voice of truth for so long, we now consider truth hate speech. But what they don't understand is telling someone the truth is going to set them free. We know where those lifestyles lead to. We know the heartache, the hardship that comes along with it. We know the damage that is done to your heart, to your physical bodies, the disease, the lifespan of people who have these lifestyles. The truth is the only thing that's going to set them free. But anytime we announce it, we're attacked. We've been backed into a corner and bullied into silence because we don't want to be hated by men. And I get that. I get it. It's so hard to stand up for truth. And it's so difficult because we're so far from the truth. It's incredibly difficult, but honestly, we can't be surprised because Matthew 10:22 tells us, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Like we know. My shirt's tucked in the back. What? Am I good? Thanks. Okay. Thanks. It's quite difficult to be hated. I've lost sleep. Not proud of it. I've lost sleep over these things. It's hard to know that you're not liked when you stand up for truth. I've been called a racist. I've been called a hater, insensitive. I've been told that people actually commit suicide because of people like me. I'm a hateful female dog. I'm evil. All in an attempt to bully me into a corner and bully me to be silenced. You'll find if you step out in truth, watch what happens. And don't be surprised. Do not be surprised. But that's what they want. That's what this Antichrist spirit liberal agenda wants. They want to back you into a corner, call you a hater. You're evil. And just keep punching. You're backed into a corner until you fall down. Like, yeah, try to stand up again and say that again. Then they come back at you again. They bully you into a corner, and that is their mission, to shut up the voice of truth. The Antichrist spirit hates the voice of truth and hates the church because it stands up for everything they're against. We are the salt of the earth. We are to preserve the truth, preserve humanity, preserve this nation. If we're not gonna do it, no one's gonna do it. Think about what I said earlier. And that's all of those things happened within the last 10 years and most in the last five. All of those things in the last few years under a liberal agenda. It's forced its way into our parenting, into the medical profession, into our schools, into our marriages, and into our churches. We are at risk of not being able to preach the gospel because it's now considered hate speech. And one of the biggest things, I think, with this election, and we've said it before, but I know a lot of you weren't at the morning service, so I want to say it again. One of the biggest things that are going to happen in this next presidential election is the next president is going to be able to elect 2 to 3, if not more, of the next Supreme Court justices. So a president's going to serve 4 years, maybe 8 years if they get reelected. But when they vote these Supreme Court justices in, they get to serve for the rest of their life. So the ramifications that are going to come are not just going to be for the next 4 to 8 years. It's going to be for their lifetime. Can you imagine a Supreme Court justice system that is so far left and so far liberal that they will make laws that negatively impact 99.4% of the population to make 0.6% of the population feel better and like they're getting equality? And we've already known, and we've heard it if you've watched the debates, one of the candidates says they are committed to ensuring that liberal justices get put into those seats, and they keep standing up for the right to slaughter the unborn up until the day they breathe their first breath. And the audience cheers. The audience cheers. We are so far from the truth because the lambs have been silent. One is committed to bringing in liberal judges that will last a lifetime, much longer than 4 to 8 years. The other is committed to bringing in conservative justices. If we lose, we can maybe afford to lose maybe a presidency, I don't know, and the nation of America will still stand, but we will not stand if that candidate gets to vote in those liberal justices that will make every decision that will impact not just us, your children and your children's children and probably their children. So church, where do your convictions lie? Oh, Jesus, where do your convictions lie? I ask you as people to search your hearts, search the scriptures, go to God in prayer and ask who more aligns with the word of God and the principles they stand for. And we got to stop again. Don't look at the person. Don't look at flawed humanity. Look at the policies. Which policies line up more with the word of God? Who carries that spirit where we want Christ to continue to guide and lead this nation? Or which one carries that antichrist spirit that wants to shut up the voice of the church? And I pray we'd all use incredible wisdom as we go to the voting polls this November. And I hope in my prayer, I have been sick, you guys. I've been getting up every morning and praying in my backyard for this election and the people of God would rise up and the lambs would get their voice back. And these things that we've heard tonight wouldn't even just stay in this place, but you would actually go out and be a mouthpiece. Go out and be a mouthpiece if we're gonna preserve the nation of America and all that it was meant to stand for. And I just want you to know that I understand the incredible emotions that can come around politics. Like I said, I've been quite feisty myself. John and I were talking about politics as we were getting ready for church last weekend, and my 8-year-old walks in. He's like, looks very concerned. He's like, "Are you guys fighting?" And we're like, "Oh, no, honey. Oh, no. We're just talking. We're totally in agreement. We're just quite passionate about what's happening in our nation right now." Like you thought we were fighting. When we're like, I understand that people hold different viewpoints, and you've been raised certain ways, and you've been raised in school systems that have, you know, pressed their liberal agenda upon us. But just search the scriptures, search your heart, and pray, and ask God for wisdom. And don't let the world silence you. The lambs will not be silent anymore. I am believing. Let's just pray. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. God, that a generation is rising up. God, that can see, that has eyes to see and ears to hear. God, that will take their rightful place in society. God, that we would stand up for your principles. God, we would look past the messy package that it comes in. God, and we would continue to make choices that align with the word of God. And I pray that each and every person in here would be filled up with boldness, God, to speak your word, to speak your truth, God, and that when they are bullied and backed into a corner, that they will refuse to back down because of what is at stake in this nation and for our children and our children's children. I thank you, God, that there is a generation rising up that will refuse to be silent. The lambs of God will not be silent. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Oh. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. The lambs are rising. Come on. One nation under God. Indivisible. We are the salt of the earth. We will preserve this nation. We will preserve this nation in Jesus' name. And I know some of you are leaving, but it would be terrible of me to not give people opportunity to respond to Jesus. I know it wasn't really like a touchy-feely, warm, fuzzy message, but I'm here to tell you that God loves you, that God has a plan for your life. You know, how bad you may have messed things up, God wants to give you a fresh start today. So I would love everyone just to close their eyes really quick and just maybe take a seat. Thanks. If you're in this place and you know that you need to get your right life with God, that you need to meet Jesus tonight, or maybe you've given your life to Jesus at one point, but you've kind of taken it back and you haven't really been living for him, and you want the purposes of God to start to be fulfilled in your life. No one is looking around, and I just have my eyes open. If that's you and you want to get your relationship right with God, can you just lift your hand up just so I can see it? I see your hands, ladies right here, and then up in the back. So I see your hand over here. I see your hand, gorgeous. And you too. Thank you, Jesus. Another hand over on the side. I see your hand. Anyone else, you know you need to get your life right with God. I see your hand in the black over here to my left. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. A few more seconds. Anybody else? We're just going to pray a simple prayer together, and I'm going to believe that God's going to enter your life in a powerful way. Anyone else? All right, let's everyone just close our eyes and pray this prayer together. Everyone in the building. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to this earth to die on a cross for my sin. I receive your forgiveness. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Today I declare that I am your child, that heaven is my home, and I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There was about 5 or 6 of you that raised your hand, but if you know you should have raised your hand, you didn't. There's a response lounge right over here. I just want to encourage you to make sure to stop by there on your way out. We want to give you a Bible, and we want to answer any questions that you have, and we just want to meet you and say hello. So please stop in there before you go. And where are the sworn sins? Can everyone just, Scott and Alana, we just stand up. If you really want to know how to get involved, Scott and Alana are involved with Salt and Light Ministry, and they have a strategy about how we can start taking government back. And so if you are interested in getting informed and getting involved, please come see these two incredible people, and it'll be a really great decision that you guys made. Thank you guys so much. All right, everyone, just stand to your feet. Thank you so much for sticking with me. I think only a couple people left. It's so exciting. So thank you. And I just pray you go out and be the church, be the voice. Don't be silenced. Go out of these doors and share the truth with a world that so desperately needs it. Amen. Have a wonderful night. We'll see you next week.